good Thursday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. And if you would be so inclined to give the show a review, a five-star rating, if possible, in the whatever app you're listening on, you can also listen on your computer, maybe at the office, over at the website nickcraig.com. Our show this morning is brought to you in part, as always, by the good folks, Melissa Gott and her team over at the Law Group. Visit them online, lawgroupnc.com, or give them a call, 910-251-6088. Well, the big news here in North Carolina this week has been redistricting. We found out late last week that lawmakers were intending to come to Raleigh this week. They had already scheduled and were already planning on being in Raleigh this week to potentially deal with other issues, but they were already scheduled to be in Raleigh as the long session continues in the state capitol. And we learned last Thursday, a week ago, that when they came back to Raleigh, they would be looking at new congressional maps. And lawmakers did exactly that in the General Assembly this week. On Monday, we saw the process work its way through the North Carolina Senate. We heard from Senator Ralph Heiss, who is the individual responsible for drawing the maps with legislative staff. He spoke in front of the Senate Elections Committee, explaining the process that went down, explaining the data that was used to draw the maps and the criteria that was used to make sure that the maps were not only drawn in an effective manner, but drawn in a legal manner to try and curb off any Democrat lawsuits, of which there will be. I can absolutely promise you that. I'll come back to that in a little bit, later as we get into some comments. So Monday in the Senate Elections Committee, Tuesday passing the North Carolina Senate in a straight party line vote. Republicans have the majority there, and after that, it moved over to the North Carolina House, where yesterday, on Wednesday, lawmakers in the House took up the proposed congressional maps. And for those that have been following and watching this process unfold for the last couple of days, the maps are, the map itself, it's not plural. It is a singular map that was redrawn by the General Assembly, makes some changes to the 1st and 3rd Congressional District. Now, this is the newly proposed, newly approved map by the North Carolina General Assembly. The 1st Congressional District is in this deep purple on the right side of your screen. For those watching, those listening, we're talking about the Outer Banks, the northeast area of North Carolina, touching the Virginia border just north of us here in Wilmington. That's the 1st District. The 3rd is in the tan-ish color. It includes just to our north, Onslow, Duplin, Sampson, Jones, Lenoir, Wayne, Green, Pitt, and Wilson counties. So changing some of the counties involved in these two congressional districts, the 1st and the 3rd. And the reason behind this is something that lawmakers in Raleigh have not shied away from. We heard from Senator Ralph Heiss earlier this week that the reason that these maps were drawn and redrawn, these two districts, were done so to try and hold off some political gerrymandering that is ongoing in states like California, where they have put something on their ballot this year. It's called Prop 50, to essentially dissolve an independent redistricting commission and give the authority to the California legislature to redraw maps. Now, that is based on their state's constitution and their state setup. I will admit I'm not an expert in California politics as it relates to the ongoings of their legislature. I'll be the first to admit that. But as it stands, they have to put this ballot referendum on to dissolve this commission and give the legislature the authority. Now, it is a completely different ballgame here in North Carolina. Our state constitution is very clear. It is the sole responsibility of the North Carolina legislature to draw maps. You don't put it on a ballot. You don't ask people their feedback. The governor has no say in it. It is solely the responsibility of the legislature. And if you don't like that, then you have one option. You can change the state constitution if you believe that that's a process. And I'm willing and ready to entertain such discussion. But we can only look at this through the lens of the rules that exist in North Carolina. And the rules are very clear. lawmakers in the General Assembly, the party that is in the majority, can draw maps if they so please. Doesn't mean they have to. Well, they have to every 10 years with new census data. But in terms of congressional maps, lawmakers can draw these things, redraw them every 2 years if they want to. There is nothing in the state constitution that bars them from doing that. There's no approval that they have to get from the voters. There's no approval from the governor, nothing. Solely the responsibility of the legislature. You can be pissed off at the rules. You cannot like what the rules are, but they are the rules. The state constitution is abundantly clear with who is the responsible party for this. So Republicans have continued to hold a majority now for 15 years in the General Assembly, and they decided, in order to combat efforts in states like California, that they were going to redraw the first and third districts to potentially, it's nothing is set in stone, nothing is guaranteed, but potentially give Republicans another congressional seat. The current makeup in North Carolina was 10-4, 10 Republican members of Congress, 4 Democrats. We have 14 congressional districts. We used to have 13. The 2020 census gave us another one. So the newly proposed map, the newly approved map, would likely give Republicans an 11-3 advantage. And while there's been a lot of outrage this week, we've seen protesters in the General Assembly every day. I played you some of the public comment earlier this week as well from individuals who seemingly don't follow politics at all. I mean, they make all of these claims, they express this outrage, but seemingly don't follow the process in any way, shape, or form. So, as I mentioned, lawmakers were very clear with what the motivation was. It is to hold off and push back against states like California and other blue states that have either already begun the process or will begin the process of redrawing maps. Here is a House Majority Leader Brendan Jones making the exact same points that we heard from other lawmakers in the House of Representatives yesterday.
Once again, we're here today because California and the radical left launched a full-fledged coordinated attack not only on North Carolina, but the integrity of democracy itself. And I've got bad news for Gavin Newsom and the radical left. North Carolina will not stand by while they try to undermine the will of our voters and stack the decks in Washington. Sadly, this isn't new. Just look around the country. In Massachusetts, New Mexico, and Connecticut, Republicans hold zero congressional seats due to Democrat congressional map gerrymanders. It's the same playbook over and over. Well, enough is enough. We have been called to fight back, and that's exactly what this body intends to do. The motivation behind this new redistricting plan is straightforward. The new congressional map improves Republican political strength in eastern North Carolina and will bring an additional Republican seat to North Carolina's congressional delegation.
So you can be all pissed off all you want about this. You can be dismayed by what's going on. You can be livid by what's happening. One thing you can't say is that Republicans are lying about what they're doing. You can't claim that Republicans are hiding facts, hiding information from voters to what this process is, what it's about, and why it's happening. I mean, the Republican Party, whether you like them or not, has been abundantly clear in North Carolina as to what they are doing and why they are doing it. You heard it in the Senate and now once again in the House. In an effort to curb what is going on in California, Republican legislatures across the United States, including here in North Carolina, are redrawing maps to protect a congressional majority in Washington, D.C. And so there's this term that you will hear thrown around a lot. You'll hear, I believe, in some of the comments I've got coming up, that this is gerrymandering. And it's kind of interesting because the term gerrymandering, now there's a couple of different ways that you can use it. You can talk about political gerrymandering, which is what you would ascribe to the North Carolina legislature and what has been done. Ladies and gentlemen, the North Carolina Supreme Court and the United States Supreme Court have both ruled over the last couple of years that political gerrymandering is not illegal. The nation's highest court has been abundantly clear that a political process, of which this is, by an elected legislature, which the North Carolina General Assembly is allowed to take part in what would be described as political gerrymandering or partisan gerrymandering. It is not a crime. It is not illegal. Now, you can argue they shouldn't do it, fine, but it's not illegal to do so. It comes down to a purely political preference with that. What you've seen in other states like Illinois, New York, California, New Mexico, Connecticut, I mean, you just heard there from Representative Jones, all of the states that do not have a single Republican congressman, Massachusetts, New Mexico, and Connecticut, not a single member of the Massachusetts, North Carolina, New Mexico, or Connecticut congressional delegation are Republicans. So would you say that those states are gerrymandered? Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, is that a problem? No, not really. Democrats control the legislature in New Mexico. They control the legislature in Connecticut, and they control it in Massachusetts. And so if the state constitution in those states give the authority to the legislature to draw maps, then while it sucks that there's not a single member of Congress, it's not illegal. It's not immoral. It's not unethical. They're allowed to do that. If they're the party in charge, they're governing the way that they want. Again, I might not like it, but it's not illegal. I can make the point that it shouldn't be that way, sure, but that's just my opinion on it. And if we're being perfectly honest about it, your opinion doesn't really matter on this. This is a responsibility of an elected government to do. In the case of North Carolina, I can't speak to Massachusetts, New Mexico, or Connecticut, but I assume it's pretty similar. So you can be outraged and you can have all of these strong opinions and thoughts, but at the end of the day, it's a solely political process that is not only allowed, but constitutionally required by the legislature. Representative Jones doubled down on this, saying that states like North Carolina are not going to be bullied in Washington, D.C. by what is going on in these blue states like California.
Talking heads who praise the blue state maps will continue attacking ours, not because of the process, but because of the outcome. But the people of North Carolina didn't elect us to surrender our responsibilities. They elected us to lead. So to the national left, I'm sorry your favorite government in Sacramento miscalculated. Proposition 50 has backfired. Republican-led states are here to make sure that one man does not predetermine the controls of Congress. North Carolina will not be lectured, will not be bullied, and will not be sued into submission. We will not let outsiders tell us how to govern. And we will never apologize for doing exactly what the people of this state has elected us to do. We did our job transparently, lawfully, and unapologetically. And if that offends the left, so be it. Because what we're defending here today is not just a map. It's the principle that stops the deck from being stacked against us. It's the principle that our delegation in Congress will advocate for the true beliefs of North Carolinians. And it is a fact that we will send one more Republican to Congress from this great state. You can be mad about redistricting all you want to, but you need to look in the mirror and ask yourself what got us here. And I think then you'll begin to realize just how bad the left messed up.
And I think Representative Jones is spot on there. This Prop 50 discussion ongoing in California, which, by the way, will pass. There was some CBS News polling out yesterday. Something like 68% of people are supporting the Prop 50, which would allow the California legislature to redraw maps ahead of the midterms. It is totally backfiring on Democrats. And it kind of goes into a broader theme and a broader trend of something that we've been talking about here for the last couple of weeks. Democrats are always the ones that want to change the rules of the game. We see this all the time, right? Whether we're talking about indictments against President Donald Trump, talking about wiretapping individuals within transition teams. I mean, it's just consistently moving the goalposts and changing the rules of the game. And for modern history, for a long time in modern history, Republicans have always been the party of, well, you know, we're going to play fair and square. We'll let them do what they want. We're not going to get down in the mud. We're not going to do this. We're not going to do that. That has changed. And a lot of that has changed, as I talked about yesterday morning, because of the courage and the encouragement that President Donald Trump gives to Republicans to be bold. And this, the comment from Representative Jones that this Prop 50 discussion is completely blown up in the Democrats' face is completely reasonable. And I think exactly what's going on. I don't think Gavin Newsom and Democrats in California thought that other states would respond to Prop 50. And that was a huge miscalculation. They assumed, just like in years past, that Republicans would cower in the corner and say, oh my God, we can't do this. We're not gonna do this. We're the Republican Party. We're the GOP. We don't operate like this. So you guys can do whatever the hell you want. We'll just stand over here and then try and play the game by the old rules while you guys are playing the game by a completely different set. Those days are over, at least for right now. And until Democrats stop moving the goalposts and changing the rules of the game consistently whenever things aren't going their way, this is what the result needs to be. You've heard the phrase, fight fire with fire. That's exactly what's going on here. Democrats want to add another 4 or 5 congressional seats in California with redistricting? Have at it. Then you'll see a whole bunch of states like North Carolina and Texas pick off a couple of seats here or there. Plain and simple. You want to play the game? We're down. It takes 2 to tango with this. We're going to play as well. And that is something that has traditionally not been seen by the Republican Party. That is something that Republicans have typically not done. And it's been very frustrating to many individuals, myself included, that this has always been the case. We allow Democrats to consistently change the way in which the game is played, and we don't play under those same rules. Now, you could argue that that leads to some level of eventual mutual destruction, and you might be right about that. I'm not going to debate that point. I think there's some serious truth in that statement. But what is the alternative? Get railroaded by the Democrats 24/7? Get railroaded by their consistent changes of rules and norms? And we sit here with our, you know, hands crossed and go, okay, yeah, well, that's fine. We're not going to play by those rules. To hell with that. I'm done with it. President Donald Trump is done with it. And it is very encouraging to see that this is the nature that is being taken by Republicans now in states like North Carolina, in states like Texas. And it is absolutely causing the Democrats to flip out. I mean, they have completely lost it. They're not used to this kind of reaction when they change things. They're not used to Republicans having the courage to stand up and say, we'll play the same game too. And that is part of the reason why there is so much outrage over what is going on. There's no outrage when Democrat states like Illinois redraw maps. That's protecting democracy. But when Republicans do it, it is the end of democracy. It is the end of the experiment that is the United States of America. It is the end of our nation. It is the end of the country due to those gosh darn evil Republicans. It's the same old story. It's the same old tale time and time again. So after these comments from Representative Jones, which you heard part of, he went through the process that they followed. I played some of that earlier this week, so I didn't want to rehash that again. It was time for debate in the North Carolina House. And as you can imagine, Democrats in the North Carolina House, not a fan as to what is going on. Not enjoying what they are watching. So let's listen to just a couple of Democrats on the House floor yesterday. Here's Representative Marsha Morey. She is a Democrat from Durham, North Carolina. Let's see what kind of insight she's got for us.
We are here today because simply it's map warfare that was started unquestionably on the record by the President of the United States when he demanded the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, to redraw the Texas congressional maps so there would be at least 5 more Republicans representing the MAGA agenda in Congress and the nation. This is on record, it is in writing. In response, California has a referendum to their voters to counteract Texas redistricting. And now here we are in North Carolina, doing a fifth redistricting in 5 years. And it's not because of the census. It's not because of a court order. It's because of a command from a president.
Well, hold on a second here. That's not wholly true. The reason that there's been so many congressional maps over the last couple of years in North Carolina is, in fact, partly because of the census in 2020 and because of litigation by the Democrats against the Republican-led General Assembly. So Representative Mori is not being wholly accurate in what's going on here. She's right. The current maps are not being redrawn because of a lawsuit or because of new census data. But she talks about, oh, this is the fifth time we're doing this. Yeah. It's because you guys keep suing the General Assembly every single time they draw a map. So you need to take a little bit of onus in that, a little bit of responsibility in that.
Unprecedented in American history.
Not true.
Let's look at what the 10th Amendment of our U.S. Constitution says.
Okay.
All powers not given to the federal government are reserved to the states. Election laws are reserved to the states.
Not true,
the federal government. What we are doing here, upon the direction of the president, is allowing the federal government to overstep its authority. Even worse, as my colleague said,
You know what? I just got to jump in. You want to talk about the government overstepping its authority? Give me a freaking break. Democrats will do anything in their power to stomp on the rights of U.S. citizens at any given opportunity. And I'm not going to go through the history of it. I'll just use one tiny example that you may remember. Oh, it was back a couple of years ago. I'm trying to think. Yes. COVID-19. Really? Democrats are going to lecture Republicans on the government overstepping as they unconstitutionally shut down businesses? As they destroyed individuals' livelihoods, as they arrested individuals for walking on the beach, as they arrested individuals for trying to earn a living and open their business, and you're going to lecture me about government overreach? You're going to lecture me about state rights? Give me a freaking break. Democrats want all of the power centralized in Washington, D.C. They don't want states to be able to decide anything. We see this every single time that there is a Democrat in the Oval Office and Democrats in Congress. They will take as many responsibilities away from the state as possible. Donald Trump didn't draw these maps, Representative Mori. Senator Ralph Heist did. Now, you could say at the direction of the president, sure. But that's not a federal government overreach. It's just stupid and absurd.
They're targeting Congressional District 1, known as the Eastern Black Belt of North Carolina. We are dividing and diluting historically Black and Latino voters, exactly what they did in Texas. The lawsuit has been filed. They diluted and they divided Black Hispanic voters in Dallas, in Houston, drew two incumbent congressional Democrats in one district. It's the same playbook. All of this. While the president's polling is at a historical low, and people are rejecting the cruelty of the MAGA agenda.
So this is really saying the quiet part out loud. This is what this is all about. It's not about protecting voters. It's not about redistricting. It's not about minority voters. Representative Mori just said the part she shouldn't have said out loud. She has to bring in, his polling is at an all-time low. The American people are rejecting the MAGA agenda. It's just Trump derangement syndrome. Democrats lost in 2016 and still have not gotten over it. That's what all of this is around. For nearly a decade now, Democrats have been unable to come to the realization that they allowed Donald Trump to become the president because they put up a terrible candidate in 2016 and another terrible candidate in 2024. They thought that they had wiped their hands clean of Trump in 2020, but they screwed up. So that's what this is all about. Nothing else of what she says matters at all. She just said exactly why the outrage is what it is, because it's evil orange man Donald J. Trump.
And I thought, Foolishly, Republicans stood for less government and states' rights. Could have fooled us, but you have not fooled the voters.
Sure.
And rather than have robust public hearings, we had two committee hearings where people from all over the state came to Raleigh to have 1 minute to speak. And their voices need to be amplified. One of them, I proudly served for 2 decades in the United States Air Force. I defended freedom, and you don't need to use racial data to see racial impact.
There was no racial data used, by the way, just a quick note.
That's not balance, that's silence. And I did not fight for my country for selective freedom. Another, you are redistricting the state to finagle more power and money for yourselves. And if you truly cared about what your constituents think, then put a referendum on the ballot and ask them across the state. Let them decide.
I love this concept. I love this. The state, you know, Democrats, just a quick little history lesson for folks here that may be new to the state of North Carolina. Democrats controlled the state for a century, more than a century, leading up to 2010. If they were so freaking concerned about redistricting that at any point during their 100 years that they controlled the General Assembly and throughout the vast majority of that, the governor's mansion, they should have changed the state constitution to require a referendum for redistricting. Plain and simple. The law does not require, and I'm not even sure you'd be allowed to put a referendum on the ballot for redistricting because it's not something that requires approval. It is solely the responsibility of the North Carolina General Assembly. And for Representative Mori and for every other Democrat bitching and moaning about it, if you don't like the rules, then get elected and change them. You know, Democrats throughout the 1980s, 1990s, and early 2000s, when they were redrawing maps, there was no ballot referendum. Why not? Because they didn't need to do one. And I don't think they should have. The state constitution is clear. It is the responsibility of the General Assembly. We're not putting it on the ballot because you guys are in the minority. That's not how this process works.
Another who teaches civics in District 3. My seniors can tell you why gerrymandering, why legal is unethical and wrong.
We will be
District 1, not because of a census redistricting, but because of fear from Republican leadership over potentially losing a seat in the midterm. The thousands of students I have taught in my 28-year career are far more fair-minded and constitutionally aligned than our current General Assembly. And yes, I taught gerrymandering was wrong when the Democrats did it. Shame on every member who allows their party to take dominance over what's right. Feel free, come to my civics class. You may learn something. And finally,
by the way, this is my favorite one. Really, this is my favorite of the four comments that she reads. Take a listen to this one. This one's really good.
Former Republican who says, I am a former Republican. I say former because I can no longer believe in, trust, or endorse the Republican Party. They only care about one thing, accumulating power and profits at the expense of everyone and everything. If this redistricting passes, it's a violation of American decency and a blatant power grab. It sends a signal that the Republican Party no longer cares about free and fair election. This is how democracy dies. Those are just four of the public comments senators and representatives heard this week when they had 1 minute to speak. So this body has outlawed, in a bill that's up for a veto, DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion, in state government, in our universities, and now we're doing it with voting. It's shameful.
I always love from hearing feedback and comments from the former Republicans. They're always my favorite. This is how democracy dies. Right, same thing you'll hear. Oh, I'm an independent. Mm-hmm. But you are constantly and only talking about how bad Republicans are and how great Democrats are. You're an independent. Oh, you're a former Republican, and this is how democracy dies. Yeah, sure. Very, very strong conservative, very strong Republican that would have that mindset. And I'm sure you're lock and step with the Democrat Party, right? Because they have all of the Republican ideals that you support is what the Democrats are currently cheering on, right? Death and destruction, right? That's a Republican ideal. Absolutely. Always my favorite when we get to hear from a so-called former Republican on what they think about things, as if that carries any weight at all. Sure. Thank you very much for your public comment. And this hot concept, they only had a minute to speak. Well, how much time is enough? You want to give every speaker an hour to speak? I mean, folks, in debate, you have to set some sort of limit. There was, in the case of what we've seen this week in the General Assembly, we saw over 100 people have the opportunity to speak to their lawmakers. But of course, a minute's not enough. 10 minutes wouldn't be enough. Democrats should be able to speak indefinitely on any issue so that Republicans can't move forward. They just want to filibuster the issue so that it can't get passed. Again, not how it works. There was a public comment period, which we'll hear about. The individuals spoke in Raleigh earlier this week, Monday, Tuesday. We heard from them. The lawmakers sat there and listened to them as these individuals claimed, "You're a bunch of racists. You're destroying democracy." Whining and complaining because they lost the election in November of last year. I've got some additional comments from the General Assembly, plus a Democrat Governor Josh Stein getting into the fray. I'll let you know why the governor doesn't have the ability to veto this congressional map. It's an interesting story on why that is the case. We'll have those details coming up here in just a couple of minutes. We'll get a quick word from Wilmington City Councilman Luke Waddell, and we'll continue with the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this Thursday morning, YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and available 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Luke Waddell, and I'm running for re-election to Wilmington City Council. 4 years ago, I promised strong, principled leadership. Leadership focused on public safety, infrastructure, and fiscal responsibility. I have worked every day to deliver on that promise, voting against unnecessary tax increases and wasteful spending while strongly supporting our police and fire departments. I'm ready to continue working for you. Please go to the polls and vote Luke Waddell for Wilmington City Council. Thank you.
Paid for by committee to elect Luke Waddell.
Good Thursday morning to you. Welcome back to the Nick Craig Show as we continue our coverage this morning of redistricting in the North Carolina General Assembly, as the North Carolina Senate and House have officially approved a new congressional map, changes to the 1st and 3rd congressional district approved by the General Assembly yesterday. Counties Wilson, Wayne, Green, and Lenoir are being moved from District 1 into District 3. Craven, Beaufort, Pamlico, Carteret, Hyde, and Dare counties are moving from District 3 into District 1. This is the new map that was proposed and was officially officially put into law by the legislature on Wednesday. So we're listening to some of the Democrat reaction to this. They're unhappy that Republicans have the majority in the General Assembly and that Republicans are operating under a fully legal process that they are allowed to do. And you'll hear them, "Oh, the voters didn't get a choice on this." No, the voters did get a choice on this. They elected and gave Republicans a majority in both chambers of the General Assembly in November of last year. They will do the same thing likely in 2026. The voters did speak. They've consistently given Republicans a majority for the last 15 years. That does not happen by accident. That doesn't just magically be the case. You're not rolling the dice every 2 years and just magically you hit and Republicans continue with their majority. It's clear and obvious that voters of this state would rather have Republicans in control of the legislature than Democrats. Plain and simple. But for whatever reason, Democrats just cannot wake up to that point. Here's Representative Pricey Harrison, a Democrat out of Guilford County. She's got some interesting points, as you can imagine, as well.
This is highly irregular.
We have had
a very truncated schedule with less than 24 hours between publication of the map and the beginning of the discussion and the debate in the Senate. The public has had very little time to process and understand what we're doing here today. And we could have done it earlier because, as Representative Morey pointed out, this was started by the president, a directive to Texas. Texas started in June or July, and so we've had plenty of time to get an earlier start on this, but I'm not going to go deep into that. But I do want to point out, so thank you, Representative Helfrich, for pointing out that since yesterday and today we had another 1,000 comments, totaling 12,215. I want to compare that to 2021 and 2020, where we had 1,000 in 2021 and 600 in 2023. And out of those 12,215, and deep gratitude to my legislative assistant for going through most of them, she's found three in favor of these maps.
This was a kind of an interesting point Democrats bringing up. Oh my God, there was 12,000 comments on these maps. There are more than 7.5 million voters registered in North Carolina. 12,000 public comments as a percentage, ladies and gentlemen, makes up 0.16% of registered voters in North Carolina providing public comment on redistricting. 0.16%. And if you are to take what the Democrats are saying at face value, Republicans should listen to this 0.16% and determine how they should govern based on those individuals. From Democracy Out Loud and all of these other left-wing groups in North Carolina, like the North Carolina Democrat Party, who were paying individuals or giving them free rides to Raleigh to come protest. No surprise that all of the public comment is negative. Republicans were busy at work while Democrats were standing in the General Assembly jarring at lawmakers because they weren't getting what they want. This was a very small group of individuals that commented. 12,000 people out of more than 7.5 million that are registered in the state of North Carolina. I would really not call that a representative sample of what everybody thinks.
Three. I want to talk about the public hearings. As was mentioned, there were just two here, one at both in Raleigh. And back in 2011, we had 65. In 2021, we had 14 in each congressional district. And then when we redrew in 2023, we did have three geographically spread out in the state. So folks have not had an opportunity to present and present in person, and you know how much of a difference that makes if you've attended these. So I'll just say there's been inadequate time for the legislators and the public to review. In those comments.
Inadequate time for what? Inadequate time for what? I mean, here's the map. There's like a dozen counties that shifted from the first to the third district. How much time do you need? The reality is you guys aren't in the majority. The reality is you guys don't get a say over what these maps look like. Plain and simple. You cannot like it. Go win a majority in the General Assembly next year. I am so sick of listening to Democrats pander to individuals over the woe is me attitude. They can't win elections. And because they can't win elections, they are in the minority. Because they are in the minority, they don't have a say. They don't get to decide how the state is governed. The voters of North Carolina chose to do that in November of last year. You don't like it? Go win a majority in one of the two chambers. But Democrats aren't even close to doing that. Republicans have a supermajority in the Senate and are one vote shy of the supermajority in the House. It's not even close. 50-50 state my ass. It's literally not even close.
So I'll just highlight the most common mentioned themes. Process. Request for a nonpartisan independent redistricting process.
Because Republicans are in control, we need a nonpartisan independent redistricting process. State constitution doesn't say anything about that. Why do Democrats want a nonpartisan independent redistricting group? Because they don't want Republicans to draw the maps. You can 100% guarantee you can take this to the bank right now. If Democrats were in charge in the General Assembly, they would not be forming an independent redistricting commission to draw maps. And I'm hopeful that they wouldn't. There's no reason to. You have the authority as lawmakers. That is why individuals in all of your districts across the state sent you to Raleigh. It was to govern. not to ask and get put every single decision that the General Assembly makes on a ballot proposition. There is no reason for an independent redistricting commission in North Carolina. If Democrats wanted one, they should have enshrined it in the state constitution for the nearly century that they controlled Raleigh, if it was such an important issue for them.
Gerrymandering, that's the high point. Lots of comments about race and the racist nature of the maps. The fact that we should be working on the budget and other state high priorities. And a big chunk of folks who talk about the current president. I want to remind you that this map we are considering today in a state with a history of the most gerrymandered maps in the country, we now have the most gerrymandered and least responsive map in the state's history before you. 84% of the public has expressed objections to the partisan nature of our redistricting process.
Wow, that is a hell of a statement there by Representative Pricey Harrison. So, interesting comment that this is the most gerrymandered map. This is the one you're looking at right now for those watching on live on YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, or YouTube. This is the most gerrymandered map, according to Representative Harrison, in North Carolina history. Now, you can look at this map and it looks, I mean, pretty normal. Most counties are together. There's a couple of counties that are not, and that is due to the fact that congressional districts have to have equal population or very close to equal population, meaning that all 14 members of North Carolina's congressional delegation represent about the same amount of people statewide. So this is what she says is the most gerrymandered map in North Carolina history. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the North Carolina congressional maps that Democrats drew that were in place from 1992 to 1998. Take a look at the 12th congressional district on this map. And I'm sorry for those listening. This is a show that you definitely need to go and watch the video version of. Take a look at the 12th congressional district, the one in purple. It spans from the city of Charlotte to Durham. And it does not go straight there. It literally follows Interstate 85 all the way through the state, practically from the South Carolina to Virginia border. This is a map that Democrats, including Roy Cooper, drew in the 90s. Look at the first congressional district. It goes all the way from the Virginia border to Wilmington, following tiny little areas. Look at this right here. That's what these congressional districts looked like through the 90s. This is freaking absurd. Democrats drew these maps and have nothing to say about it, and then have the audacity to claim that the map that you just saw is the most gerrymandered in North Carolina history. Look at this is not a proposed map. These were the North Carolina congressional districts through the vast majority of the 90s. The first district literally goes from Fayetteville to Wilmington to the Virginia border. But you're supposed to believe that it is these evil, awful, terrible Republicans that are responsible for gerrymandering. That it is the terrible, awful, evil Republicans that have provided the most gerrymandered map in North Carolina history. Democrats have absolutely zero self-awareness. Absolutely zero self-awareness whatsoever. And she talks about now these are the most gerrymandered maps in the country. Well, let's take a look at what's going on in some of our other states. Here's Illinois. These maps don't look concise at all. You've got a congressional district that goes all the way from St. Louis to Champaign. Splits the state practically in half. There's no compactness in this map. The same congressional district is literally split in half by another. You don't see that in the North Carolina map. Again, here's North Carolina's proposed map. Does it look anything like the two other maps that you just looked at? Do you see these weird, thin little areas traversing the entire state? No. These maps are compact as hell. Look at the 11th district. It's pretty much all of Western North Carolina. Look at the new 1st district, Eastern North Carolina, the 7th, the 3rd. The only time that you see weird little lines are within heavily populated areas like Mecklenburg and Wake County because the population is so dense. It looks nothing like this map. Absolutely nothing like this map. But for Democrats, rules for thee, but not for me. I love posting this picture that you're looking at right now for those watching. I love posting this picture on X. Anytime a Democrat pontificates about gerrymandering, this is what you guys were responsible for in the 90s. Roy Cooper voted for this map when he was a North Carolina state senator. So you have absolutely zero leverage to talk about gerrymandering or redistricting. Until Republicans, and I will say this publicly right now for everybody to hear, until Republicans draw a map like the one that you're seeing right now, I don't care what they do at all. Until Republicans draw a map that looks like that is as much of an abomination as this map, they can do whatever the hell they want. Now, the second that Republicans draw a map like this, I'll be the first one out on the street calling them out. But until this is the case, I have nothing to say. Democrats, once again, have no ability to discern the things that they've done in the past and then wonder why things are happening now. This map is a freaking joke. Literally, from Charlotte to Durham, following Interstate 85. That is what this purple district follows. Literally an interstate. If you live on one side of the road, you are in one congressional district. If you live on the other, you're on the other side. It's absurd. But again, as Democrats tell you, the map that was just proposed by the General Assembly is the most gerrymandered in North Carolina history. It's the most gerrymandered map in the country. Don't take a look at Illinois' maps. Don't take a look at the maps that Democrats drew in the 90s. Just ignore that. Evaporate that from your memory. It never happened. It doesn't exist. How about some more comments about the end of democracy and how the Republicans are destroying it? Here's Representative Phil Rubin from, Wake County. Take a listen.
Today's latest attack by Republicans on self-governance in North Carolina follows the attack on our Board of Elections. It follows a brazen attempt to steal a Supreme Court election. And it all adds up to a sense that there are those in our government that think only the right people may ever hold power, and that the rules must be rigged to make sure the people can never disagree with those choices. And now we're here today, the Republican Party holding a vote of no confidence on our self-government in North Carolina to make our already rigged maps even worse. But it's not just the maps themselves. Behold the process that led to today. Secretive, dismissive, 6 days long from end to end, and frankly, disrespectful of the people of North Carolina. Dismissive of the people of North Carolina. You have treated them as obstacles to be managed, even talked down to here in this debate today, not citizens to be heard. And it would be bad enough if they were simply ignored. And they were ignored. No one looked at those comments. We all know that. No one looked at that. No one tried to take their feedback into consideration and why you have a public comment period if you're going to dismiss all of their comments when they're clearly one direction.
So I guess under Representative Rubin's analogy, if you allow public comment on something, you are obligated to listen to the public comment. You are obligated to rule based off of what 0.16% of the public wants you to do. That's what he just said. Why even have a public comment period? Well, because it's an opportunity for people to provide feedback. Now, just because you have the opportunity to comment on something doesn't mean that you get what you want. Maybe this is something that Democrats don't understand. You are allowed to have an opinion and comment on literally anything that's going on. Doesn't mean it's going to change anything. So under Representative Rubin's grandiose ideas here, the Republican legislature should have taken the feedback of 12,000 out of 7.5 million people and made their decision based on that. Interesting notion from him. And of course, they're stealing elections, blah, blah, blah. We've heard this since 2016, folks. Wash, rinse, and repeat. Republicans are stealing elections. They're colluding with the Russians. They're doing this. They're doing that. Consistently. Boy who cried wolf. None of this stuff has any meaning anymore. You guys have used all of these terms ad nauseum. Nobody believes you. Not even your own party believes you on this stuff anymore. And it's why you saw a landslide victory for Republicans less than 1 year ago. So Governor Josh Stein, who is a Democrat, former attorney general, former member of the legislature, released a video in the immediate aftermath of this vote by the North Carolina House and Senate. Let's listen to the governor.
North Carolinians have voted under different congressional maps in 5 out of the last 6 elections. And today, the General Assembly is abusing its power to pass yet another congressional map for the 2026 midterms. Why? To try to hand President Trump another Republican seat in the House of Representatives. Under North Carolina's Constitution, the governor does not have the power to veto redistricting maps. If I did have that power, I assure you I would veto this map.
Stop the presses there, Governor Stein. Why is it that the current Democrat governor of the state cannot veto this map? Once again, ladies and gentlemen, we need to take a trip through North Carolina political history. Back in the 90s, when they introduced the gubernatorial veto, which prior to the 1990s, the state of North Carolina did not have the ability to veto. So you just had the law that passed the legislature, and that was it. There was no ability to veto. There was no ability to do anything like that. So in the 90s, you had the Republican or the Democrats controlling the North Carolina General Assembly. And for a period of time, you had both Republican and Democrat governors. And so they being the Democrats, understood that if a Republican gained power, which did happen when Governor James Martin was the governor, he was the governor from 1985 to 1993, they wanted to make sure, Democrats did, that they could draw maps and not have a Republican governor veto them. So in the early 90s, it was like 91 or 92, when people like Governor Roy Cooper, at the time a member of the North Carolina Senate, were determining the gubernatorial veto authority. They explicitly wrote the veto so that the governor could not veto congressional maps. Explicitly, because they were concerned in the early 90s, Democrats were concerned that if another governor like James Martin was in the governor's mansion, that their maps would be vetoed. So they explicitly wrote that out of the gubernatorial veto. So this is another example of Democrats' short-sighted decisions back in the 90s coming back and biting them in the ass mightily in 2025. There is one reason and one reason only that Governor Stein cannot veto this map. And it is Democrats that gave the governor the veto ability. Plain and simple. There's your little North Carolina history lesson this morning. More from Stein.
True leadership is knowing when and whether to use your power. Republican legislative leaders are abusing their power to take away yours. They're afraid that they will lose in the midterms and afraid to say no to the president. So they've turned their backs on you to silence your vote in the 2026 election. It's outrageous. When a candidate or a party loses an election, you're supposed to work like hell to connect better with voters so that you can win the next time.
Really, Governor Stein? He's telling that to Republicans? What about a little self-reflection there, old Gov? Democrats have been out of the majority in the General Assembly for 15 freaking years. Democrats in North Carolina have been woefully unsuccessful in convincing voters that their candidates are the best. Case in point, we have 2 Republican senators in North Carolina. Case in point, we have a Republican majority on the North Carolina Supreme Court. Case in point, we have a supermajority in the Senate and a more than a simple majority in the House. President Donald Trump has won the state 3 times. But as the governor states, well, when you lose an election, you're supposed to figure out how to better connect with the voters. That is literally what I've been saying about the Democrats for 10 years in North Carolina. That is what they are unable to do. And it's why they are not gaining power in the GA. It's why Ted Budd had a resounding election victory a couple of years ago to become another, our second U.S. senator. And it's why now the North Carolina Supreme Court, the appellate courts, and a variety of other offices are controlled by Republicans. But Stein is going to, again, tell the GOP what they need to do. Maybe a little self-reflection there, Governor Stein. You guys on the Democrat Party, on the Democrat side of the aisle, have been unable to get over the fact that Donald Trump won in 2016 and have completely imploded since that period of time. But sure, please lecture us on how losing elections work, please.
You do not rig the rules of the game to guarantee your victory. The voters be damned.
No, you arrest them. That's the solution. When you don't win an election, you try and persecute the individual that beat you. When you lose an election, you change the statute of limitation in states like New York so you can prosecute your political opposition. That's what you guys do, correct, Mr. Attorney General, Mr. Governor?
America is a representative democracy where people choose who represents them, not the other way around. The Republican General Assembly is damaging this core principle. Understand that in the last election, slightly more than half of the state voted for a Republican candidate for Congress. Yet, instead of having half the seats, the Republicans want to seize 79% of them. That's 4 out of 5 seats. This is a General Assembly that refuses to pass a budget. North Carolina is one of only 2 states in the entire country that doesn't have a budget. But we're the only state where both legislative chambers are controlled by the same political party. Teachers, law enforcement, and other public servants are waiting on much-deserved pay increases. The General Assembly refuses to provide them. Medicaid recipients and providers are feeling the pain of the legislature's forced cuts because they refuse to fully fund Medicaid. And now the General Assembly is failing you by taking away your power to choose who represents you in Congress.
Wow.
It's disgraceful, and it's past time Republican legislators got their priorities straight. I am ready to sign a budget that values our teachers, helps law enforcement keep us safe, protects health care access for the most vulnerable, and puts North Carolina on a path of opportunity for every person. And I will never stop fighting for you because I know I work for you, the people of North Carolina, not a political party, not the president, you.
Wow, thanks. Great insight there from Governor Stein. So there you have it. Nothing else to really discuss or say. Democrats aren't in the majority. Democrats have no political leverage whatsoever in North Carolina. When they themselves constructed the gubernatorial veto, they explicitly left out, purposefully, congressional maps. And now Republicans are doing exactly what I think the vast majority of the people that elected them would support. Holding the line on states like California, Illinois, New Mexico, Massachusetts, and Connecticut that don't elect Republicans to the United States House. You can be, again, as I mentioned at the beginning, you can be upset, you can be pissed off, you can be angry about everything. You guys aren't in power. You guys aren't in control. We're not obligated to work with you. We're not obligated to sit down in a room. That was another thing you heard all week. We weren't even in the room when this. Yeah, of course not. You guys have no bargaining chips whatsoever. What is this notion? That the party that's in charge should not be allowed to govern even though they've got a majority? I mean, folks, you and I very clearly remember back just a couple of years ago, 2020 to 2022, when Joe Biden was in the Oval Office, Democrats controlled the United States House and Senate. Were they consistently opening their arms and inviting the Republicans in to govern? Hell no. And guess what? They shouldn't have. There's no reason for them to. The American people gave Democrats the majority in 2020. Gave them the Oval Office. As a citizen, as a voter, the party that is in charge should govern. The party that is in charge should lead. It is a mandate from the American people. Democrats shouldn't and don't open their arms when they're in the majority. Republicans shouldn't and don't do it when they are. That is not how the system works. Politics is a nasty game. It's a nasty sport. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Losing sucks. We've been there not that long ago. Winning is great. But this grandstanding from Democrats about how this should be, they've never governed like that in their lives. They will never go across the aisle and invite Republicans into the room. Never. Yet, they want us to. It is another picture-perfect example of rules for thee, but not for me. When they're in charge, they want to govern. When you're in charge, they also want to govern. It's not how it works, guys. As the governor said, maybe you should listen to him. Lick your wounds, retool, re-key up, get ready for the next election. Democrats don't do that in North Carolina. It's why they've consistently gotten their asses handed to them in the General Assembly. Not even close. And as I was reading through comments on social media yesterday, I guess the reason that that is also not happening is because of gerrymandering. Ooh. Anything and everything is just gerrymandering. Not that Democrats don't have any good ideas. Not that their policies don't resonate with the vast majority of North Carolina citizens. No self-reflection on any of that. But it's okay. Because Republicans should bow down to the left. Republicans should bow down to whatever they want. Do whatever the left says, please. Don't govern even though you're in the majority. That's not what the voters that sent you there would want. They'd want you working with the party that they voted against. Okay. Makes total sense. Sounds great. So that's it on redistricting. It's done. The new map is done. It is approved by the North Carolina House, the North Carolina Senate. When candidate filing opens in early December, that's it. Those are the new districts. Democrats will sue, as they always do, sue till blue. That is their policy here across the Tar Heel State. They will do anything and everything in their power because they can't win politically to then use the legal system to try and get their way. It's not going to work. These maps will be in place for the 2026 midterm elections, and Republicans will, in all likelihood, gain yet another Republican seat here in North Carolina, likely making an 11-3 Republican to Democrat majority. If you don't like that, you have a couple of options. It starts with, however, winning back the North Carolina General Assembly. And then you can institute things like this nonpartisan redistricting committee. You can, if you want to redraw maps, put it out to the voters. I mean, that's what you guys say you want. So I can only presume if and when Democrats come back into power, that's what they will do. I mean, they're saying that's what needs to be done, right? So you would assume maybe they'll practice what they preach. I wouldn't hold your breath on that. We know the two-faced, double-sided, double-speak nature that Democrats consistently roll out to the American voting public. I get it. And while this feels good right now, ladies and gentlemen, once again, at some point, we will be in the side of the minority and it will suck. But that's politics. That's the game that it is. In a two-party system like we are, R's versus D's, that's the way that it goes. It's great when you're in charge. It sucks when you're not. Is it unfortunate? Sure. But what's the alternative? What the hell's the point of having elections with different ideologies if you're not going to actually govern or not actually lead when you're given the keys of government? I mean, what's the point? So I have no sympathy. Don't feel bad. It's not illegal. It's not unconstitutional. It's not unprecedented, as we continue to hear. It's not the end of our democracy. All of these great platitudes from those on the left. You guys haven't won. You haven't proven to the voters of North Carolina that you're the best party to lead. And the end result is Republicans are in control. And frankly, we get to do what we want, plain and simple. The same way that you got to do what you want, did what you wanted for 100+ years leading up to 2010. That's it. Plain and simple. There's some continuing coverage of this over at CarolinaJournal.com this morning. I've got an article up there with the headline, Lawmakers Approve New North Carolina Congressional Districts. You can read through all of the details over at CarolinaJournal.com. Well, that's going to do it for a Thursday morning. Thanks to the law group here in Wilmington for their continued support. Visit their website, lawgroupnc.com. We'll be joined by attorney Seth Woodall coming up tomorrow morning here on the show. Don't forget that the Nick Craig Show streams live weekday mornings, 7 a.m., YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and of course available 24/7 wherever you get your podcast. Have a great Thursday. We're back here tomorrow morning for the Nick Craig Show.